is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can take control of the airwaves toll-free at 1-800-259-9231. Sickle CAI toll-free line. That's 800-259-9231 as we kick off another week of fun and excitement here on Free Talk Live. You can, of course, join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are totally free, so do enjoy those on us. That, again, is freetalklive.com. Lots to talk about on the way here tonight. Mark, you gave me like four different stories. I liked every single one of them.
So yeah, they're all good.
Just pick one of them that that you liked a lot, and we will definitely get to that. Of course, your calls about whatever is on your mind. Once again, 1-800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. A little bit of information came out over the weekend, according to the Washington Post, about the U.S. government and how much information they've been collecting on you.
Oh, this is going to be bad.
Information you might not have imagined they were collecting, apparently. Apparently, not very many people did. And somehow the information came out about what they're collecting, so we're sharing it with you. They're collecting electronic records on the travel habits of millions of Americans who fly, drive, or even take cruises abroad. Because, you know, terrorists, they love to go on Bahaman cruisers.
Yes, I would imagine that they do.
Yeah.
Special terrorist cruise lines.
Retaining data on the persons with whom they travel or plan to stay. Remember when we've read stories about people visiting, for instance, Canada, who, when they are going through customs, will be interrogated by the United States government as far as who are you going to see? As though it's any of their business. I mean, it used to just be business or pleasure.
Right.
Now it's, who are you going to see? Give us names. Give us addresses. Give us phone numbers.
What if you, if the United States Customs people ask you at the border, you don't talk to them, actually. It's the Canadian people that you talk to on the way in and the United States people you talk to on the way out.
I don't know at what point you talk to them, but they have talked to people. I don't know how it works, Mark.
Okay. My experience crossing the border is from 7 or 8 years ago. I did not come in contact with any United States officials on the way out of the United States, only on the way in.
I'm talking about people on planes, not talking about people on foot.
What if you tell them I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do in Canada?
I don't imagine that would go over too well.
I mean, are they going to say you can't leave then?
Probably.
Isn't that weird? You can't leave the United States.
Yeah. That's awful.
You, a free citizen, aren't allowed to leave because you won't be telling.
Does anyone still believe that they're a free citizen?
Absolutely.
Really?
They do, sure.
But I don't think they're paying attention. Maybe I could understand that if you maybe never went into an airport.
In an Orwellian sense, they absolutely do believe it. You know, they're told they're free. They must be.
Yeah.
It's a free country.
I can't even. It's hard for me to fathom somebody believing that they live in a free country still. I guess you're right, though, Mark. I mean, some people are totally in the dark. They are completely oblivious to all the awful, tyrannical things that this government is doing and how much more intrusive it has gotten into our lives within the past 5 or 6 years. But I suppose those people do exist. I mean, it's possible. I suppose you could live under a rock and not watch the news or not pay any attention to anything, never fly, maybe never fly on an airline, and then you could maybe think that we're still free.
We're free, but things changed on 9/11. You still have to answer questions when you get an airplane. That's the way they see it. It's
amazing
free.
To me.
We just have to do certain things.
I just don't understand that mentality.
It's clearly not looking at the truth.
Right.
But, you know, free in a somewhat subjective sense. I can see using the terminology free in a subjective sense, but I don't even think we're at that point.
There's no freedom in America. In fact, there wasn't freedom in America before 2001. So I don't even want to hear people use that excuse.
An absolute sort of freedom as opposed to a sort of a subjective, there's a range of freedom kind of thing. I think that there's certainly been points in our history where those who were 21, white and male, were free.
I see where you're coming from on that. And I'm not saying that, I'm not agitating to go back in history to those times. I'm looking to move forward to liberty.
Right.
So, I mean,
I would like everyone to have, to be at least my subjective level of free.
Yeah, I would like people to be left the hell alone by the government. I think that would be a nice subjective level of freedom that some people could agree on. Anyway, let's put all that aside for now. and talk about the information they're collecting about you. Mm. They're collecting the information on, again, where you're flying to, driving, or taking cruises to, retaining data on the persons where you're traveling with, where you plan to stay. Also, they're also notating the personal items that you're carrying during your journey, and even the books that you've carried, according to documents obtained by a group of civil liberties advocates and statements by government officials. The personal travel records are meant to be stored for as long as 15 years as part of the Department of Homeland Security's effort to assess the security threat posed by all travelers entering the country. Officials say the records, which are analyzed by the department's automated targeting system, that sounds really safe, to help border officials distinguish potential terrorists from innocent people entering the country. Because machines sure are great at singling out terrorists, I'm sure.
I don't know. See, when it comes to all the, with our foreign policy, the way our foreign policy is, I understand why it is they're doing what they're doing. I have a problem with the foreign policy that inflames the hatred of people in other countries that might want to come here and hurt us. I think that we can have freedom, but the way to have that freedom is to draw our troops in from the 131 countries that they currently occupy and over 700 military bases around the world.
No doubt about it. But new details about the information being retained suggest that the government is monitoring the personal habits of travelers more closely than it has previously acknowledged. The details were learned when a group of activists requested copies of official records of their own travel. You know, the Freedom of Information Act, they were utilizing that. Those records included a description of a book on marijuana that one of them carried and small flashlights bearing the symbol of a marijuana leaf because terrorists like to read about marijuana.
Right. As though they're actually terrorists. The thing is they're just going to use this to enforce all of their laws. It's nominally about terrorism, but it's not really. It's about the same level of control that it's increasing the level of control in this police state.
What do you think would happen if I walked into an airport and sat down with a book like Why Government Doesn't Work by Harry Brown?
I don't think that would be much of a problem.
I don't know about that. The automated targeting system's been used to screen passengers since the mid-1990s, apparently. The collection of data for it has been greatly expanded and automated since 2002, according to former Department of Homeland Security officials. They yesterday defended the retention of highly personal data on travelers not invoked in or linked to any violations of the law. So they're just collecting information wholesale on everybody they can collect information on. But no suspicion necessary. But civil liberties advocates have alleged the type of information preserved by the department raises alarms about the government's ability to intrude into the lives of ordinary people. The millions of travelers whose records are kept by government are generally unaware of what their records say, and the government hasn't created an effective mechanism for reviewing the data and correcting any errors, say activists. The government doesn't even have a mechanism to correct an error with their no-fly list. I mean, if anybody expects them to create any sort of mechanism to allow you to review the information they've collected on you and then correct that information, you are living in some pie-in-the-sky fantasy world.
Right. If you think that the government is going to correct any information that it has on you, first, Exhibit A is the no-fly list. If your name's on the no-fly list, it shows up on the no-fly list, you pretty much have to be an elected official with the federal government in order to get your name off.
Yep.
I'm talking about they've put kids on there, kids as young as three. They've put old nuns on there, just a plethora of people that don't belong. Most of the people on the no-fly list do not belong on the no-fly list. That's Exhibit A. Exhibit B, what sort of motivation does the government have to take your name off the list?
They don't care about customer service.
Why would they care about customer service?
What can you say to them?
Are you going to say, well, I'm going to stop having you as my government then. I'm going to change to a new government. I'm going to start paying my taxes to another government.
Yeah,
not going to work.
You can't.
You got to pay no matter what.
And they don't care if you don't fly. You could say, well, this is the last time I'm flying.
So?
Oh. Great. One less person to check.
The airports care. The airlines care.
Right, but the government doesn't care about the airline's bottom line. It could care less. 800-259-9231. John Gilmore, a civil liberties activist in San Francisco, one of the men behind the Identity Project, was involved in this. We'll talk about what he has to say in regards to the government collecting information on the things you have in your bag, and the things you read in the airport, and more. This is Free Talk Live.
Ted Anderson from Midas. September 24th, 2007, gold 73210. Ounce gold coins can be purchased for $754.90, $372.25 for half, $186.13 for quarter. That's $754.90, $372.25, and $86.13. The Chinese government has begun a campaign of economic threats against the U.S., hinting liquidation of its vast holdings of U.S. treasuries, responding to Washington's trade sanctions, forcing the Yuan Revolution. Communist Party bodies are warning that Beijing may use its $1.33 trillion reserves as a political weapon, causing bond yields to spike, hammering the U.S. housing market and throwing the economy into a recession. Russia, Switzerland, and several other countries have reduced their holdings due to this threat. Economist Ambrose Evans Pritchard published the report, China Threatens Nuclear Option of Dollar Sales. Call for the report today, 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being lost in the global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Jeff Rentz, and if you're interested in suppressed natural cures and rare exotic remedies, this may be the most important message you'll hear for a long time. There's an opportunity right now for a limited number of listeners to acquire an amazing, blacklisted, naturally occurring compound with very unusual ionic properties. In fact, it's considered the single most important remedy in all of Ayurvedic medicine. Medical studies have been conducted abroad on the effects this rare mineral-like compound has on energy, diabetes, tumors, ulcers, memory, and brain function, not to mention reproductive health, exercise recovery, and arthritis. Because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made. However, it's still quite legal to own this compound. And the best part? My listeners pay nothing down. Simply go to blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Or call 815-259-4552. That's 815-259-4552 for details.
One day soon, the U.S. dollar, otherwise known as the Federal Reserve Note, will be recognized in the global marketplace for its intrinsic value. Nothing. On that day, you will be bewildered, angry, and impoverished, or you will be calm, confident, and prosperous. The deciding factor between your two possible futures is what you do in this moment. Go to D2Z.org and learn how to survive and thrive during the U.S. dollar crisis. D2Z.org.
George Phillies is the right candidate for president. A serious, well-educated candidate who stands for the basic principles of liberty and the basic principles of this nation. You know the old adage, if you keep doing the same thing, you will get the same results. The choice this election year is simple. More of the same or real change. For peace, prosperity, and liberty, go to www.phillies2008.org.
Paid for by Phillies 2008. This is George Phillies, libertarian for president. I approved of this message.
Attention, this is an urgent GCN news bulletin. Honeybees are now mysteriously vanishing at an astonishing pace across the entire country. Why is this urgent message about honeybees so desperately important? The answer is easy. You see, honeybees produce a unique compound, fed only to the queen, that makes her live 6 times longer than other bees in the hive. Some researchers now believe the compound may have miraculous effects on humans as well. The compound is called Royal Jelly, and is now available in an all-new, ultra-purified form called Jellicene Gold. The product has been designed for purity conscious Americans who are concerned about contaminated royal jelly entering the U.S. from Asia. Solutions from Science is the only company authorized to sell Jellicene Gold in the U.S. They believe it to be the purest, most potent, and safest form of royal jelly in the world. GCN listeners can now purchase this product wholesale on the Solutions website without paying anything today. Visit the Safer Jelly website right now. That's saferjelly.com. Saferjelly.com. Or call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can take control of the airwaves. The toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Mark.
800-259-9231. You can join us online at freetalklive.com.
freetalklive.com, where all the features are totally free. We've got the bulletin board system with over 250,000 posts, lots to see and do. There's a lot of stuff to talk about there. Get interactive with over 1,600 of our, I think we've actually got over 1,700 users now. And lots, again, everything from fun stuff to serious issues, you'll find it for free at bbs.freetalklive.com. That's bbs.freetalklive.com. And if you or perhaps someone you know needs a primer on some of the subjects we talk about on Free Talk Live, you should check out the Liberty Radio Underground. It's an elementary introduction to libertarianism, and each show concisely handles a single topic in less than 10 minutes. It's great for someone new to liberty. Go to libertyradiounderground.com today and grab an episode. That's libertyradiounderground.com. We're talking about a bit of a revelation, a discovery that some activists have recently just stumbled upon. According to the Washington Post, certain activists, and I think John Gilmore is one of them, we'll talk about him in a moment, but certain activists had sent in some Freedom of Information Act requests to get files on themselves. So that's what they wanted is, you know, what kind of information has the government been collecting about me?
Right. This could be disturbing. I mean, you know, what's the government collecting information for people on people anyway?
Turns out that they are cataloging everything as much as they possibly can at this point, including information on where people are traveling to, who they're traveling with, who they're planning on staying with, the personal items they carry during their journeys, and even books that they have carried. The activists allege the data collection effort, as carried out now, violates the Privacy Act, which bars the gathering of data related to Americans' exercise of their First Amendment rights, such as their choice of reading material or persons with whom to associate. They also expressed concern that such personal data could one day be used to impede their right to travel. You think? John Gilmore, a civil liberties
activist. What else is it there for?
In San Francisco, whose records were requested by the Identity Project. Now, if you don't remember the name, John Gilmore is a fairly wealthy man.
Mm-hmm.
He made a name for himself in the computer business. I think he was either owner or CEO or something of Sun Microsystems, which is one of the major computer sort of systems manufacturers. Or I think they work on operating system software and that sort of thing. Anyway, he got rich in the computer field, and he decided that he was going to spend his retirement tooling around and on airplanes and checking out the security status of the government. And
he knows how to live.
As far as he went in and was accosted by the government one day, and he realized that this shouldn't be happening in a free country, and so he sort of dedicated himself to continuing to investigate the government and learn more about what they're learning about us. So he's out there. I think he's one of the guys behind PapersPlease.org. We actually read a story from them recently on the program. Anyway, he says, the federal government is trying to build a surveillance society, said Gilmore. And according to him, his records were requested by the Identity Project, an ad hoc group of privacy advocates. The government, he said, may be doing it with the best or worst of intentions, but the job of building a surveillance database and populating it with information about us is happening largely without our awareness and without our consent. Gilmore's file, which he provided to the Washington Post, included a note from a Customs and Border Patrol official that he carried the marijuana-related book, Drugs and Your Rights. He says, my first reaction was, I kind of expected it, said Gilmore, and my second reaction was, that's illegal.
That's probably the saddest part of all of this.
That people expect this sort of thing now?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, how much further are they going to go? How far have they gone that we aren't aware of this point?
And allow me to wax somewhat conspiratorial, a little crazy sounding.
Hmm.
Maybe not so conspiratorial, just a little out there.
Okay.
Kids in schools around the United States, we've read more than one story, have been had all kinds of problems, including legal problems, from writing stories that were violent.
Absolutely.
That include death or destruction or things like that. Now, try to imagine boys in high school thinking that death and destruction was cool. Can you imagine?
I know I thought that.
I know that, when I was little, the most fun I had playing with things included guns, stuff that would kill you, swords, things like that.
The stories I wrote and things I created when I was in school probably would have gotten me some terrorist charges.
Right. Maybe I didn't look at it from a macabre standpoint. I didn't think about the torturing and eviscerating of people, but some of these stories did not include that. They just included killing. Then you think about, the next step from that. Who writes stories about killing? Just about every fiction author out there.
Okay.
Swords, knives, guns. I mean, are we going to go to that next? Is somebody carrying a book about killing, which is just about every fiction book out there, except maybe the romance novel?
You know, the fiction thing seems like it's pushing it a little bit, but what if, I mean...
What these kids got locked up for.
I see that, but a more realistic scenario as far as where we're at right now, what if I was reading a self-defense manual, you know, how to kill an attacker or something like that?
I remember the Fist of the Dragon or some book like that that I had at one point that, they claim to reveal to you some point that you could touch with a feather's touch and kill someone.
Mm.
These kind of things are sold, and the people into self-defense are interested in them.
Right. Is that going to put me on a list because I'm interested in that sort of thing? Again, how far will they go? Department of Homeland Security officials said this week the government is not interested in passengers' reading habits, that the program is transparent, and that it affords redress for travelers who are inappropriately stymied. Quote, I flatly reject the premise that the department is interested in what travelers are reading, department spokesbureaucrat Russ Nock said. We're completely uninterested in the latest Tom Clancy novel that the traveler may be reading. But Nock also said, quote, if there is some indication based upon the behavior or an item in the traveler's possession that leads the inspection officer to conclude there could be a possible violation of the law, it is the frontline officer's duty to further scrutinize the traveler. Unquote. Once that happens...
But what if that frontline officer thinks that, say, Without Remorse by Tom Clancy, which tells the story about, an ex-Navy SEAL guy killing civilians in a vigilante rampage, killing unconvicted people in a vigilante rampage. Quite honestly, I think that John Clark was a great little hero in that book. But so, that's what I think. What about that TSA agent?
The bureaucrat said once that happens, it's not uncommon for the officer to document interactions with the traveler that merited additional scrutiny. He said he's not familiar with the file that mentions Gilmore's book about drug rights, but that generally frontline officers have a duty to enforce all laws within our authority, for example, the counter-narcotics mission.
But TSA agents aren't officers.
Well, they're calling them officers.
But, I mean, they can't arrest.
No, but they can investigate.
Why are they investigating?
Because they've been ordered to.
Isn't it their job to just secure the airport?
That's what they're doing, Mark. They're protecting us from people reading books about pot. Officers making a decision to admit someone at a port of entry have a duty to apply extra scrutiny if there's some indication of a violation of the law. So apparently now reading a book about marijuana is an indicator that you could have violated the law. The retention of information about Gilmore's book was disclosed this week in Wired News. Details of how the automated targeting system works were disclosed in a Federal Register last November. Though the screening's been in effect for more than a decade, the data for the system in recent years have been collected by the government from more border points and also provided by the airlines themselves under government mandate. They're not just turning over that information because they feel like it. Though direct electronic links, or through electronic links, that didn't previously exist. Your thoughts on this, 800-259-9231. Are you feeling good? Feel safe? Is this the sort of thing you want your government doing? This is Free Talk Live.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code Club Radio when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Hey, Jack Blood here. I think that if we could see the germs and potential biohazards all around us in our daily surroundings, we would turn into Howard Hughes. We try not to think about it primarily because we might think there's nothing we can do about it. Not so fast. Now there is a solution. I'm talking about Hazarid Complete Protection Kit, available now at Hazarid.com. This is the single solution that is tame enough to safely conquer everyday household and business cleaning chores, yet strong enough to decontaminate biological hazards. Hazarid fights infectious disease and unsurpassed odor, mold, and allergens. This is an amazing state-of-the-art disinfectant with a no-questions-asked guarantee. Safe for kids and pets and indispensable for your home, car, or business. Wherever you go, take Hazarid with you. Call them now to order 800-675-0323. That's 800-675-0323. Or go to the web, www.hazarid.com. H-A-Z-A-R-I-D, Hazarid.com. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Here are just a few of the benefits associated with Heart and Body Extract. Blood sugar, cholesterol, and circulation levels return to normal. Arteries unclog. Angina is gone in just a few days. Blood pressure goes back to normal, and irregular heartbeat returns to normal. Heart and Body Extract works by making sure your body is in balance naturally with absolutely no negative side effects. Doctors who've tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results. Dr. Mark Goodman talks about his experience with a patient of his who started taking Heart and Body Extract.
I have the best experience with a gentleman who was a colleague of mine for many, many years. And so we got him this product, and he could not walk from his house to the mailbox to get his mail because he had congestive heart failure. And after being on this product for about 4 to 6 weeks, he was able to walk 15 minutes per day. And after 2 months, he was walking up to 3 miles per day.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online at hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Your show. You can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number, 1-800-259-9231. Sinkles CAI toll-free line. It's in here with you. And Mark, 800-259-9231. Join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are totally free, so enjoy those on us. And those include the Shrine of Female Listeners, the dozens of ladies who've sent us their validated photo to prove they listened to the show. Head on over to shrine.freetalklive.com to see what that's all about. Shrine.freetalklive.com.
You got questions about the liquidity crisis, the China option, and the Fed chairman's unenviable position between hyperinflation or deflationary implosion followed by hyperinflation? Visit D2Z.org or contact Troy at D2Z.org. You know, with the way the dollar's been performing over the last couple of weeks, I have questions about this stuff myself.
You're damn right. Canadian dollar's worth more now, isn't it? Or at least it was at the end of last week. I didn't look today. I don't really keep up to date on that. No, I have not looked at that, no.
I had somebody tell me today, as a matter of fact, it was a good friend of mine who happens to be my broker. He said, have you looked at gold? It's been going up. And I said, no, gold hasn't been going up. The dollar's been going down. The Canadian dollar is worth the same as the United States dollar. I don't know about you, but I remember when it was $1.25, $1.75. Now it's the same.
Amazing. I think that's, what was it, the first time that's happened since 1976?
I don't remember it ever having happened, but I didn't look at the history of it.
Yeah, you would have been paying attention in 76.
No, at 5 years old, I probably didn't care much about the performance of the Canadian dollar.
So, your federal government has a nice little file that they've been collecting on you with all sorts of information in it, including the information about who you've been traveling with, the books you've been reading in the airport, maybe some interesting items they found in your bag as it was being screened, all these things being collected. It's all in a database about you. And I guess, well, if you haven't really traveled anywhere or interacted with the federal government, there's probably not much on you. But the more you interact with them, the more the more times you crisscross through the airports of America, the chances are the bigger and bigger your file is becoming.
And, you know, you wonder, I think about the Unabomber. Here was a guy who lived in a hut in, wasn't it Michigan? Wasn't he living in Michigan? You remember this guy?
I mean, I remember generally the
Ted
Unabomber.
Kaczynski.
Seen the drawings of his face.
Who hasn't seen that, right?
Right.
He lived completely, almost entirely off the map.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to worry about him. They're collecting data on just us, just people traveling around who have nothing to hide. They're collecting the low-hanging fruit that is almost of no use.
You say that, but then again, I mean, weren't the Nazis collecting information on people in the beginning? It just seems like when the government collects information on people, it leads to something down the line. Whether it's simply gun confiscation or all the way to people confiscation, it seems to tend to lead towards scary things.
It seems unlikely to me that we're going to get to that point, but...
gun confiscation's already happened.
Not gun confiscation. People confiscation, I guess, is what...
All in good time, Mark. You be patient. I think something will happen like that because there are people out there demanding it. There are Americans out there that want to see Muslims have a separate line at the airport. They want to see, the immigrants are being rounded up on almost a daily, if not weekly, basis in this country. They want to see more of that happen.
Well, I see that they would want that. And I really don't have much of a problem with the police department's profiling. I have a problem with the police department's feeling the need to profile in the case of Muslim Americans.
Right. And also, speaking of rounding people up, there's other news about the immigrants and an offer that may be made to them from the federal government. I think one that you predicted, Mark. But first, we'll continue this story here. The Department of Homeland Security database that they have generally includes passenger name record, or PNR, information, as well as notes taken during secondary screenings of travelers. PNR data, often provided to airlines and other companies when reservations are made, routinely include names, addresses, and credit card information, as well as telephone and email contact details, itineraries, hotels, rental car reservations, and even the type of bed requested in a hotel. This is the kind of things they know about you.
Why do they need to know what kind of bed I've requested?
The more information, the better, as far as they're concerned, Mark.
God, what are we
Citizen,
paying for
what
this?
Do you have to hide?
What are we paying for this? Why are
Stop
we...
your questioning.
But why am I paying
whatever
for...
information we want. Show us your papers.
Right, and that's really the way it is.
The records the Identity Project obtained confirm the government's receiving data directly from commercial reservation systems such as Galileo and Sabre, but also show that the data in some cases are more detailed than the information to which the airlines even have access. Ann Harrison, communications director for a technology firm in Silicon Valley, was among those who obtained their personal files, provided them to the Post. She said she was taken aback to see that her dossier contained data on her race and on a European flight that did not begin or end in the United States or even connect to a U.S. bound flight. She said, "It was surprising they were gathering so much information without my knowledge on my travel activities, and it was distressing to me this information was being gathered in violation of the law." Well, you see, you don't understand. It's their law, sweetie.
Yep.
So they can just do whatever they want. And what are you going to do about it? Sue them? You're going to sue the government?
5 years later, maybe they'll stop after you've taken it to the Supreme Court.
Well, even if you get it to the Supreme Court, they'll just do what they did with the torture thing. They'll pass a law, the Military Commissions Act is what it was called, about a year ago now. They passed a law called the Military Commissions Act that basically exonerated the government, the executive branch, from any sort of punishment for the things they've already done. So after the fact, they went back and retroactively said, yeah... might have been illegal then, but it's not now. And retroactively, we're making it totally illegal for what we did in the past.
Right.
So they could
it's
do that.
Okay.
Yeah. So if they could take this all the way up to the Supreme Court, spend who knows how much money doing that. I can't imagine how much that costs. Take it all the way up to the Supreme Court, and then, a few weeks later, have Congress pass a law and have the president sign it that says, it's not illegal anymore. Na 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 na.
Just like that.
Right. The director of the Identity Project and Ann Harrison's brother, James, obtained government records that contained another sister's phone number in Tokyo as an emergency contact. He said, "So my sister's phone number ends up being in a government database. This is a lot more than just saying who you are or your date of birth." Edward Hasbrook, who we read something off of his website over the weekend, a civil liberties activist who was a travel agent for more than 15 years, said that his file contained coding that reflected his plan to fly with another individual. In fact, Hasbrook wound up not flying with that person, but the record, which can be linked to the other passenger's name, remained in the system. The automated targeting system, Hasbrook alleged, is the largest system of government dossiers of individual Americans' personal activities that the government has ever created. He says travel records are among the most potentially invasive of records because they can suggest links. They show who a traveler sat next to, where they stayed, where they left. It's that lifetime log of everywhere you go that can be correlated with other people's movements that's most dangerous. If you sat next to someone once, that's a coincidence. If you sat next to them twice, that's a relationship. Stuart Verdery, former assistant for Department of Homeland Security, said the data collected should be considered an investigative tool, just the way we do with law enforcement, who take records of things for future purposes when they need to figure out where people came from, what they were carrying, and who they were associated
with. But mostly they take those records from people that have been arrested for something. Rather than just collecting it wholesale.
Wholesale on everyone. The Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff said in 2006 that, quote, if we learn anything from September 11th, 2001, it's that we need to be better at connecting the dots of terrorist-related information. After September 11th...
They connected all the dots. There were people that reported this in the government that reported it to these agencies. It wasn't about connecting dots. It was about not responding.
Well, Mark, you may be right about that, but that wouldn't sound very good in a press release. So they're using their perceived failure as an excuse, and they did fail. I mean, they didn't stop September 11th.
These are the same jerks that you're, we're trusting them to protect us. These are the ones that failed us in the past.
Right. They were already spending billions of dollars in 2001, but it wasn't good enough. And now they're using their failure as an excuse to be more intrusive and to collect more information about you and your personal life and your business. He says, after September 11th, we used credit card and telephone records to identify those linked with hijackers. But wouldn't it be better to identify such connections before a hijacker boards a plane? He said that comparing the PNR data with intelligence on terrorists let the government identify unknown threats for additional screening and helps avoid inconvenient screening of low-risk travelers. So he's actually trying to say that the information collection is helping you not get secondary screened as often.
How nice.
1-800-259-9231. You can take control of the airwaves. Bring up whatever's on your mind. On the way, I think Scott's going to be doing that. And we'll take your calls about anything. This is your show. It is Free Talk Live. Plus, coming up, we'll tell you about how a good Samaritan has been harassed by the police. It's Free Talk Live.
There are many paths you can take in the pursuit of liberty. The fastest avenue to real political change is being paved by the Republican Liberty Caucus. Join Representatives Ron Paul, Jeff Flake, and dozens of state legislators in advancing the ideals of individual rights, limited government, and private enterprise within the GOP. The Republican Liberty Caucus, online at rlc.org. That's rlc.org. Your path to liberty.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever, on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network, and I have an urgent message for our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following 2 free reports. U.S. Debt Bubble Red Alert and Real Estate Crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 1-888-8-XANADU. Ask for George.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It is your show, and you can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number at 1-800-259-9231. SACL CAI toll-free line. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us online at freetalklive.com. The features on the site are for free, so enjoy those on us. And if you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, then go and become a Free Talk Live amplifier at amp.freetalklive.com. Hundreds of our listeners have decided to do this. It's a voluntary option. We give away the website, so it's above and beyond all that. If you like the show and you want to help us get on more radio stations across the country, this is the best way to do it. Go to amp.freetalklive.com and get signed up for as little as $3 a month. Any major credit card, PayPal, other options are there for you as well. And it makes a difference because that money coming in helps us advertise, market, and promote the show. And really, it makes a huge difference. If it weren't for the amplifiers, we'd probably be on a fraction of the radio stations that we're on today. So thanks to all of our current amplifiers, and thanks to you if you sign up. amp.freetalklive.com. Just one more quick thought from this Washington Post article. We just left you with the government telling you that the reason they're collecting all this information on you is to make sure that you don't get secondary screened more often. We were just talking about, we've been talking about it all hour, how according to the Washington Post and some security experts, John Gilmore included, they have discovered that the government's been collecting all kinds of data on you, including who you travel with, what books you read as you're traveling, including just minor minutiae data on, you know, the hotels that you stay in, the cars that you're renting, the type of bed you request at the hotel. All of this information being collected. They collect information on things that are in your bag that they find interesting. And it's far wider than what anybody ever imagined, the amount of information they're collecting. But the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff is saying, well, this is okay. It's okay that we're doing this because we're comparing it with the data on the terrorists, and we're making it so it's avoiding inconvenient screening for low-risk travelers. But then you must ask yourself, well, what does the government consider risky? Let's look at Zakiah Reed, a Toledo firefighter, who said in an interview that he's been detained at least 7 times. Now, you'd think they'd have the information in the file that he was a firefighter, right? Odds are good, terrorist, not a firefighter. Probably. I mean, that's just me going out on a limb. They're probably not spending their time volunteering for the local fire department.
And if they detained him 3 times?
7 times.
But if they've detained him 3 times, right, you think they would have caught whatever it was that they were looking for?
Well, instead, he's been detained 7 times at the Michigan border since fall of 2006. Twice, he said, he was questioned by border officials.
That's 7 times in a year.
That's correct.
Twice, he was questioned by border officials about politically charged opinion pieces that he'd published in his local newspaper. The essays were critical of U.S. policy in the Middle East, he said. Once during a secondary interview, he said, they had them printed out on the table in front of me. Now, it's not very likely that he was walking through the airport with a copy of the newspaper that he had sent the letters to the editor into, or the opinion pieces
right.
into, and then left the newspaper behind for
They're
them
cross-checking.
To copy. Right. There, somebody is looking at information about who's writing letters to the editor in America. The information, your name, and most papers want your name and address and all that when you send in letters to the editor.
Sure, they don't want they don't want a bunch of fakes.
Dissenting letters to the editor are going into the government's files, too. Now, what happens when they want to round up the dissenters? Oh, I know you're saying that could never happen in America. But then again, I didn't think any of this stuff could ever happen in America.
Right. Would you have thought that one of the dissenters would have been detained at the border and asked a bunch of questions? Why?
It's just amazing. 1-800-259-9231. If you are in favor of this sort of security state, we'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, we go to your calls about whatever you want. Let's talk to Scott in Arizona. Scott, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello? Scott in Arizona. He's gone. Let's go to Tom in New Hampshire. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah. First of all, the government shouldn't be collecting all that information in the first place. But, you know, their excuses, basically, it's a terrible system. And that's, I think, I've been hassled and interrogated at the border. But what I think they're trying to do is intimidate people into not criticizing the government. That's what it's not a matter of they're going to round up all these people. It's, you know, a chess player knows that the threat is more powerful than its execution. They're keeping these tabs, and so now everybody knows that if you write a letter to the editor criticizing the president, then you're going to be on this database, and they'll do nasty things to you eventually down the road as the implied threat.
Right. We'd read a story in the past about an author, not a guy just writing a letter to the editor, but a published author who'd written a book that was critical of the Bush administration, and he says that he gets shaken down every visit to the airport as well. Now, you'd think, I mean, not that I'm saying that's okay, I'm not saying that for a moment, but you'd think that a published author would be more likely to get attention. But no, now they're actually recording who's writing the letters to the editor in the newspaper. I mean, this is just amazing stuff. This is going
on. What I called to talk about, though, on October 7th of 2003, some guys went into the home in McLean, Virginia, of U.S. Senator Judd Gregg's wife. You may have heard that, remember that big news story there where she was violently attacked. I don't know if you guys were living in New Hampshire at the time.
I don't recall.
But it was a big news story. These guys threatened her at knife point. They took her away. They brought her to a bank. She said she didn't have any money for them to steal in the house. But here's a bright idea. How about if they go to the bank and she can go in and take some money out of her bank account? And they went for that. And when she got to the bank, she ran in there and hid. And the cops were called. And those guys were eventually caught the next day.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad when dumb criminals get caught.
Yeah, now, see, if she had been able to grab a gun, okay, she would have been justified in shooting those guys.
She would have, you'd think, yeah.
Now, if she had been able to grab a gun and kill one of those guys, and the other one guns her down, how does this sound? Oh, I was just defending myself. Look, she pulled a gun on us. Look, she murdered my partner. How does that sound?
Well, I doubt that they're going to get away with that defense in that case.
Yeah, now, compare that to a few weeks earlier on August 26th in Stannardsville, Virginia, when two cops went into a house to arrest a guy for selling cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to grab a gun, and he was able to kill one of those cops, only to be gunned down by the other one. The other one says, oh, I was just defending myself. Look, he pulled a gun on us. Look, he murdered my partner. You know, and
well, if they weren't there enforcing the war on drugs, then the murder would never have happened. That much is certainly the case. Tom, thanks for the call. 800-259.
Well, it had a happy ending.
Is there? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, the cop died.
Jeez. Thanks for the call. 1-800-259-9231.
He's a man on a mission.
Oh, my. Let's continue.
Not sure what I think about his mission. But
and talk to Eric in Michigan.
Actually, I'm pretty sure what I think of his mission.
Well, I think that killing cops, bad idea, as you can see. I mean, in his stories, the other guy, the guys that kill the cops always get killed. But one of the things he is pointing out correctly is that a lot less cops would die if it weren't for this war on drugs.
You know, is it Market for Liberty that you read where it says that revolutions have failed in the past because they've all been violent?
Maybe. I think that might be in that, yeah.
And I like that idea. I think that's interesting. I would like to be involved in the Liberty Revolution that fires no shots.
Welcome to the Free State Project. That's what we're doing here in New Hampshire. Let's continue with the call
here.
Talk to Eric in Michigan. Eric, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, what's on your mind?
And Tom Shrews, a nut job.
Okay, yes he is.
I'm just about to start reading the Dickens novel, Hard Times, and we're studying Marxism in my college class.
Enjoy.
And, in 19th century Britain, they had the industrial culture, and it was basically pure capitalism, as far as I understand it. And people had awful conditions. So I'm wondering, how do you guys value that against what you usually say, which is that capitalism protects people?
Okay, I would love to. I've been thinking about this for the last week or so. First off, I don't know how things were in 19th century Britain. I can't speak to that. I barely know how things were in 19th century United States. And of course, what I am reading is history written by the winners, and those winners are socialists. But I can tell you that largely, when business uses when business has government around, it uses that government to get sweet contracts or to keep out the competition. Essentially, that's what the railroad barons did back in the 19th century United States. I'll use that because I do happen to know what's going on there. And, they managed to stifle competition by, using the government. The government was a tool to keep out the other people.
Right, and we want competition because when businesses compete for workers, then conditions improve over time.
And conditions were bad in the 19th century. They absolutely were. But the richest, wealthiest person really didn't have indoor plumbing. They went outside and went to the bathroom in a hole in the ground.
Eric, you may want to have you may have another point, so hang on, okay? 800-259-9231. Hour number two is on the way. You can bring up whatever you want. A good Samaritan trying to do the right thing has been arrested by the police. We'll find out what exactly he was trying to do here in a little bit and take your calls about whatever you want. This is Free Talk Live. Liberty, self-ownership, the nature of government, libertarianism. What do these things mean? If you, or perhaps somebody you know, needs a primer on some of the subjects we talk about on Free Talk Live, you should check out the Liberty Radio Underground. It's an elementary introduction to libertarianism, and each show concisely handles a single topic in under 10 minutes. It's great for someone new to liberty, and it's free. Go to LibertyRadioUnderground.com today and grab an episode. LibertyRadioUnderground.com.
Looking for profits? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.